Since 2020 to 2024, how much do you think is the percentage of increase in homes?
This is a community. This is a family thing. It's not just when you buy a home with us. You know, we had the best dad. You know, I remember when we started Saddlebrook, those late night conversations that I'm so frustrated at this and this and this. Those conversations, he would always calm us down and like, you know, hey, work through this.
There's not many people buying houses right now. And that's why we're getting a big, huge trend of these larger square foot homes going out. Only way they're willing to go from a 2.99% interest rate is to either sell their house and downsize, or they're going to keep that house until they can buy a bigger house.
But no, seriously, we stay consistent. We want our viewers really be educated on the housing market, the new tiny home. People call it a trend, people call it a facade, but we call it a movement. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to the number one tiny home podcast in the world, powered by Saddlebrook. Guys, it's episode 10. We made it to episode 10. Let's go. We're 10% to 100 episodes. Will we make it to 100 episodes?
We're definitely going to make it to 100. Heck yeah. Let's go.
Guys, when we say we're the number one podcast, tiny home podcast in the world, it's because nobody's doing it like us. Nobody's doing it
like
us.
They ain't got that energy like we do. Nobody's as good looking as us.
I'm humble. But no, seriously, we stay consistent. We want our viewers and our future viewers to really be educated on the housing market, the new tiny home. People call it a trend, people call it a facade, but we call it a movement. We call it a movement 100%. Because of where the economy is, where the world is at, and the American dream is gone
100%.
In 2024. That's just the truth. So we're trying to bring back the affordable American dream.
That's awesome. Is this today? Is this in like a serious topic, or are we like having a little fun?
We're down to business, guys. We're going to talk about a super interesting topic, the housing crisis of 2024. So before we start the conversation, I mean, everyone has seen the housing crisis. Cohen, like, tell me, where have you seen the housing crisis?
I mean, the housing crisis is everywhere. You know, and we're going to talk about it later, but you know, the refinance rates or percentages are basically non-existent. So there's the people are not willing to sell their existing mortgages at 2.99%, 3.99%. So they're holding on to those, thinking that, you know, they're, why would you trade that for a 8%, 7% mortgage? You know, even when I talk to real estate investors, they're not buying up single family homes as much as they were 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Because they can't make the rents and they can't make their payments work because of what rent is in America versus what the mortgage is. And I think the most important thing that people need to understand is 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you had to have, I think, to buy an average home in America, $79,000. But now
in
average household income. But now it's well over $100,000.
120K.
To be exact, 121. Okay. According to Zillow.
121K.
But the average wages and salaries have not gone up that far.
No. And it's insane that you said that because it's true. So a lot of people are actually migrating from more expensive states like Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, California. And they're actually flooding the South, I would say. Texas, Arizona,
I hope not.
Florida, Georgia.
Yeah, Florida. Yeah, Mississippi, Florida, Mississippi.
North Carolina is a big
thing. Yeah, exactly. But here's the thing. It's in New York, California, their mortgage for a $700,000 home, well, evaluated at $700,000, was $1,800. And now they moved to a quote-unquote cheaper state, and they're paying $3,600 a mortgage. Because even if you move to a cheaper state, life has just gone up like crazy.
And I think the biggest thing, let's take California. So there was a builder, a friend of mine, and he builds custom homes in California. And just the basic home, Chris, in California is a minimum of $250 to $300 per square foot starting price.
Starting price.
Without the land. That's what he's charging his customers. And, you know, I asked him, I said, how busy are you? And he says, I'm fairly busy, just enough to keep my workers going, but that's it. Like, I'm not a year behind. I'm not 2 years behind like I used to be. I'm not 4 years behind because people can't afford $300, $400 a square foot to have a brand new single family home built.
Yeah.
In Texas, they're still reasonable, but even our prices are well below $150 a square foot. All in. That's with concrete.
That's crazy.
That's crazy. So
that is.
When you say where's the housing market? That's where the housing market is.
Yeah.
It's right now, it's very slow. You can ask all of the realtors, and there's some realtors that are doing very well.
Yeah. No, it's
but true. take the real estate here where we live in a 100-mile radius, you don't see many people moving into houses or trading houses or moving up. They're having to downsize. Even in a state where there's no state income tax, you know, we do have property taxes here. But even in a state like we're in today, there's not many people buying houses right now. When I say buying houses, buying traditional stick-built homes that, you know, somebody's selling already. And that's why we're getting a big, huge trend of these larger square foot homes going out, because we're below $150 a square foot, and your traditional builder is not going to be below that.
Yeah.
They're just not.
Guys, so I was watching Colin actually sent me a PBD podcast the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And according to their research, this was so mind-blowing. I want you guys to guess.
This has been fact-checked, by the way.
It has been fact-checked. Since 2020 to 2024, how much do you think is the percentage of increase in homes?
Like in new homes built or like no, new homes like
new
sold?
Home value.
Oh, value.
Value.
Like nation, like United.
Yeah, nationwide.
Nationwide. I don't know.
How much I would say 20-30%.
Yeah. Close. 80%.
Yeah, I would have been more in the
same. I wasn't even where.
I'd have been closer to 100%. Yeah,
it's in insane. Prices.
So that means if a home was 150,000, or let's say 100,000 for instance,
it'd be worth
it would go up 180,000 is what it would cost to either build or buy that house now.
Exactly. Yeah. But here's the here comes like devil's advocate, right? Play devil's advocate. People are sitting on so much money because they can't stand the fact that they're paying $400,000 for a home that was listed for $250,000 3 years ago.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I follow a lot of real estate investors. I love real estate. I know you do too, Colton. And what they said, hey, when are you buying real estate? He said, I'm buying now. And if I'm buying now, this person said, you should be buying now. Because here's the thing. Although the market is high, although interest rates are high, what can we say? Date the rate, marry the payoff. Why? As soon as this is factually speaking, as soon as the interest rates drop 1%, there's a million new home buyers in the market.
100%.
Right? So, I mean, it's such a, I don't know, we're in such a weird position right now with inflation because everything is so high. But then if interest rates drop, home prices are going to skyrocket because, I mean, so many people that have been trying to buy since 2022 are going to start buying. And the crazy part is that we are in the lowest turnover rate like ever.
Ever.
So for every 1,000 homes, only 25 are selling.
And that's what I was saying earlier.
That is insane.
Is the turnover rate is so low. They're not willing. The only way they're willing to go from a 2.99% interest rate is to either sell their house and downsize, or they're going to keep that house until they can buy a bigger house.
Right.
Or if they're renting, they cannot afford to even buy a house or even the down payment because their salaries and wages and their household income did not go up.
That's what I'm
seeing. With the market and the interest rates.
That's what I'm seeing. Is the people that are renting, the rental market is still good.
Yes. Well, it's a renter's market because.
And that's what I wanted to ask. Are we in a renter's market? I guess so.
I believe so.
Yeah.
We're seeing investors from all over. And I'm talking about not just in a 150-mile radius. I'm talking Arizona. I'm talking Terlingua, Texas. They're 950 miles away. They're 1,150 miles away. It's not like it's just somewhere close that these guys are coming to us and saying, hey, build me 12. Build me 26. Houston, build me 84. Why are they doing that, Chris? They're doing that because they know if they hire general contractors on site, they're going to be in it no less than $200-$300 a square foot. Why? Take the hurricane that's coming in. we're seeing a big trend already with North Carolina just hit, and I'm not sure when this podcast is going to be out, probably a week from today. But when this podcast comes out, the hurricane's going to be over, and we're going to even be in a bigger crisis than we are today, guys. Mm-hmm. What we're seeing is all of our vendors today are saying, lock your prices in, buy truckloads, because our OSB in COVID went from $6 to over $30, $40 a sheet.
Yeah, same. For OSB.
What does that do to the construction world? That means your change orders will skyrocket, even if you have a house.
Yeah.
That if that contractor cannot go buy a truckload of lumber, they're going to guess they're not going to pay for it. The end buyer will end up paying for it.
That's for an on-site home.
That's for any home.
Any home. If you're not locked in.
If you don't have the buying power that a company has to say, all right, I'm going to go lock in 5 truckloads of that, because I know for the next 6 months it's going to be ridiculously high.
Yeah. and that's insane. And as we're speaking, we're talking about the hurricane that hit North Carolina. There's actually a Category 5 happening right now.
Right now, as we speak.
Insane. So, I mean, Florida itself used to be the state you go to retire because it's cheap, the weather. Florida is one of the most expensive states now, and that's actually insane. So when we were looking at, hey, who are the biggest vendors of manufactured mobile modular homes? Number one was Texas. I think number two was Florida, correct?
It was.
Yeah, and that's why, because Florida has gotten so expensive.
Why do you think so, though?
I think it's supply and demand, maybe, you know?
Supply and demand, too, but then look at the risk for insurance companies.
Absolutely.
So that means your insurance is going to skyrocket as well.
Yeah.
Because your homes are...
So even now, I learned this yesterday in Florida. You cannot even build a house today unless it's made out of concrete, and the first floor cannot be habitable. Did you know that?
In Florida?
In Florida.
Yeah.
So any new homes built have to be, the first floor is uninhabitable because of the flooding.
Is that why they make the first floor garages?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. That's insane.
Because of the hurricanes and everything that hit.
Yeah.
But going back to your question, is this a renter's market? I think it is. And it's definitely, if something doesn't change, it's going to even be a more renter's market.
Yeah.
Because these investors, they're seeing, you know, they can't make apartments work today. Mm-hmm. They barely can make townhomes work today. They need something affordable that they're going to get their return on investment sooner rather than later. They don't want to be in the market 10, 15 years. Their risk is too far out there. So why are they choosing affordable housing as well as a single family home, because they can rent this single family home out just like they can a townhome, but it's half the cost.
Yep.
It's half the infrastructure cost.
Okay, but then what do you say to the people that say, yes, interest rates are high, I get it, they're 7-8%, they're higher than the last 5 years, but I mean, interest rates on renting are 100%, because you're never gonna get that money back.
I would say, so number one, date the rate, marry the payoff. So no matter what, what are the average rents?
I would say 1,500.
Yeah.
Let's just say 1,500 to 1,800. Like, you can go get a 2-bedroom condo, and it's going to cost you anywhere in that range.
Depending on New York, California, Texas. Right,
depending on if you're in a rural area in a small town, it might be totally different.
1,200 to 1,500.
But why would you not downsize and buy something that has equity, and get into that when that payment would be the same as?
Or lower
than your rental payment.
Yeah.
That way, when this turns around, when you save up enough money, when you are in a position to go buy that big 3,000 square foot home, why not buy something that you can't, like, you know, smaller space, so you can get in this house, build equity, and eventually turn that into a mother suite, like whatever, a rental property, whatever, and then buy the home.
I think the most thing that I want to tell people today is, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, I'm not even sure. I wasn't born then. Gas was 10 cents a gallon. Historically, everything goes up. So at today, there's a Chinese proverb that I always go back to. The best time to plant a tree was 10 years ago. The next best time is today. Why? It's because you'll never have today again. There's never going to be 10 cents gas again.
No.
A 2x4... can't always be $1.83 or $3.83. It will historically keep going up. Today is the best day to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying if you can't afford it, don't do it. But if you, if you're saving money today, like you said, Kyler, date the rate, marry the payoff, because today is the cheapest it's ever going to get.
Yeah.
And if it goes cheaper in the next 4 years, and then historically over a decade, it'll always be cheaper today than it will be 10 years from now. You because inflation and the cost of everything just keeps going up. Mm-hmm. Look at salaries 50 to 100 years ago.
Yep.
They maybe were making, you know, and it goes back to the dollar, but they were maybe making, you know, $25,000, $30,000, and that was like it, like $100,000 these days.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You know, bread was how much per
loaf?
How much per loaf? How much was milk?
And I think,
and it historically just keeps going up.
You're telling me $3.83 per 2x4. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's scary because I remember my dad used to be a general contractor when I was a kid buying 2x4s.
For 50 cents.
Yeah.
That's insane.
I saw them at 83 cents, to be honest. The fact that it's almost $4 per 2x4 is insane. That's actually crazy. Imagine how many 2x4s go into a house.
And that's just an 8-foot stud.
Yeah, that's insane. But guys, hear this out. This is actually going to blow your mind. Imagine getting a $47,000 pay raise in 4 years. Have you guys heard about that? Have you guys heard of anybody getting a $47,000 pay raise in 4 years?
I have not.
No, me either. But that's literally what has to happen for you to buy a home. Look, according to Zillow, homeowners have to earn $47,000 more than they did in 2020 to buy a home.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing. Average home income to buy a home, it was kind of similar to what you said, $53,679. In 2024, it's $121,398.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
You don't even make that much coming out of law school your first year.
Or being a nurse or being a doctor. No.
You don't even make that money. I mean, guys, I think we're becoming insensitive to the struggle that people actually have nowadays. Does that make sense? $100,000. I mean, the way I grew up and how a lot of Americans are growing up nowadays is if $100,000 makes you rich back then. That's not, what not people would consider now, rich.
That will only get you paycheck to paycheck.
Exactly.
In most states.
Do you think, though, that people could budget maybe a little better? You know, do they go excessive on shopping? And
sure.
I mean, it's America. America runs off of transactions, so we have to keep on spending and spending.
Yeah,
why do the rich keep getting richer and the middle class is actually falling apart? Like what's happening? There's people that, let's say you make $100,000, where's all that money go? Is it going for groceries? Is it going for rent?
You have to think.
Like, how are people getting behind so much?
Kyler, if you have a family of, let's say, 5 kids, and then it's you and your wife,
mm-hmm.
and you go out once a week to go have dinner,
yeah.
that's $250,
yeah.
$300 that 5 years ago maybe would have cost you $100, right? You go to Chick-fil-A, and I love Chick-fil-A. You can't leave Chick-fil-A for $15, $20, which 5 years ago was $10.
Yeah, so like McDonald's, you can't, like even all the fast food. Yeah. My point is there room to budget in some of these
Yes,
cases?
There is, but you know, I think it's, I don't want to get too deep into this, Colin, and you tell me your opinion on this, but it even has to do with when we're little, our school systems are not teaching us any financial literacy.
No.
So when everything was super cool, there was so much money in 2020. Everyone had market. I had crackheads buying $1,000 sneakers in New York. And that's not me being offensive. That's just the truth. A bunch of crackheads, people who had no money, people who had a bunch of addictions wearing $1,000 sneakers. That's just how it was in 2020. No one told you to save your money. No one told you to invest in anything. That's why I don't like that term rich get richer, poor get poorer. It's just the smart are intelligent and invest their money well, and the poorly educated stay broke.
I mean,
here's what I'll say. I didn't grow up in a high-income community. Does that make sense? I chose, and this might be a little controversial, but I chose to educate myself for better. Does that make sense? But on the flip side, I do believe mental health is a huge problem in America, and a lot of it is because of financial pressure. What did you say? It costs $250 to take out a family of five. Honestly, I think it's a little more, like $350.
Depends on where you go eat.
Yeah, if you go to Benchmark,
you go to Longhorn Steakhouse.
That's
go to Texas Roadhouse. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. But those are luxuries you can't even give your family anymore, because in 2020 you earned $89,000. In 2024 you only earned $95,000.
And we're coming up on Christmas.
Ooh. Your kids ain't even getting gifts. What does that do for you as a man when you can't even provide for your family, but you're working your butt off? You know what I mean? So what do you think, Colton? I mean, it's the problem is so much deeper than just financial, how much you make a year. It's
financial literacy is number one. How do you get rid of your biggest percentage debt first? So if you have credit card debt, start there. It's 25% interest. Mm-hmm. If you're paying 25% interest, my mentors have always told me pay off the highest interest first. Pay everything towards that first. Pay everything off. Do not pay 25% interest. That is insane. If you have a car at 20%, either sell it or pay it off. Get rid of your bad debt first. That's where I start. And that's what financial literacy will tell you. Don't go into credit card debt. If you have to have it, like we're coming into Christmas, don't go into credit card debt. I highly suggest, and you guys can disagree with me, but cut your credit cards up. If that's the case, if you'll go $10,000 in debt for Christmas, and it takes you the whole 2025 to pay that off.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be paying minimum payment, and maybe $3 out of $100 will go towards your principal. You're getting nowhere. That's where I think America has to wake up and say, I'm not going to pay 25% for Christmas, for credit cards. They have to start with what they can control. And guys, I've been there. I've been to where we were so deep in debt that where do you even start? You start by putting any extra money that you have towards that principal to pay that off. Guys, they don't want you to pay off your credit card debt. Why? They're making 25% on their investment. Mm. Why would they want you to pay it off? But guys, you have to start on the highest first and then work your way down to the lowest. Mm-hmm. Your lowest is always going to be, you know, maybe your mortgage at 3.99%, and you don't worry about that. But how much more money would you have if you didn't have a $1,000 car payment that's 20% interest?
Wow. Yeah.
If you had a $10,000 credit card debt that you're paying $500 a month, but maybe $100 is going towards your principal. Mm-hmm. That's what people have to understand is they start there. And I'm talking to the people that say, well, I can't even afford one of your homes, Colton. You start there.
Yeah.
You start with what you can and can't control. What you can't control is what the world's doing today. What you can't control is who gets president in less than 30 days. We can go out and vote, but that's all we can do. Start with the controllables. Get your family back in. And start making decisions that benefit. America needs families. America has lost the family dynamic. We are now at a deficit of how many dads are with their children. That's where the deficit is. We start with the fathers and the dads.
Need more men.
And we start taking control of our families. We start taking control of our finances. We get financial literacy. You can go on YouTube, guys, and it's free.
And everyone has one of them.
You can go to Dave Ramsey. You can go to anybody on there. I agree with Dave Ramsey on a lot of things, and I disagree with him on a lot of things, right? There's a lot that 20 years ago you did not have on this thing. That if you're struggling today and you don't even know where to go from here, start with just watching financial literacy and getting smarter, getting more educated in finances. I keep hearing people, it's not about the money. I'm not worried about the money. You guys, all you talk about is money. I agree with them to an extent, but I don't. What I agree with is, yes, your world should not be centered around money. But I think people don't take it serious enough.
That's a tool.
It's a tool that God has given us to use, and we don't even recognize it. We take it for granted. We take a paycheck for granted. We take, I can go spend $100 here, and it's okay. Just because I want the convenience, we're okay for today. Guys, you have to take control of your family. You have to take control of your future. The next 4 years is not promised. We don't know what it's going to hold.
Yeah.
How many people here have got anything in savings today? Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that percentage would be of how many Americans have money above $5,000 in their savings account.
I have no idea. But all I know is when I was living to paycheck, I wasn't even worried about $1,000. I was worried about a car payment or a credit card payment. Like, listen, guys, the situation is bad. It's not just bad. It's bad.
But why did you get in credit card debt?
Yeah, same thing. No financial literacy and things like that. But here's the thing. Okay, so it's easy for people to look at us and be like, yeah, they got it all made. So I want you guys to really talk about where you guys were before Saddlebrook and how you built it. Just quick 1 minute. Because, guys, like, not everyone has it made. This was built. This was literally built. And the number one way you're going to build something, the number one way you're going to get out of your situation is by exposing yourself to this new lifestyle, exposing yourself to this new language, exposing yourself to people of higher income that have the family you want, that have the vacations you want, that have the cars you want, that have the relationship with God you want. So that's why, guys, just briefly 1 minute, talk about where were you guys before this?
2019, when we started this. You know, me and Kyler were sitting out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I remember it was 110 degrees. I was making $19 an hour. And I did not get paid for 6 months. For a whole month, I worked for $3,000, $4,000. Sun up to sundown. Monday through Saturday.
13-hour days.
13, 14-hour days.
Easy 13-hour days, yeah.
Sometimes on Sunday, because of the weather the next day for roofing, we had to work on Sundays as well. 110, 105 degrees, hot. We came home and we were like, do we really want to grow up like that? Do we really want to grow up?
It doesn't happen overnight.
You have to
keep on putting in that work and getting around.
And going back to our childhood, I dropped out at 6th grade, 7th grade. Don't have a high school GED diploma. Never went to college. And so you have to think, what do I want my future to look like? And that's when I made a conscious decision that I was not going to be like everybody else. And everybody has that choice. Either you stay where you are today, or you make a decision today. And I know we're talking about tiny homes on this podcast, but it's the real world.
It's people about creating
need,
value.
People need to know the literacy of what money can do. Mm-hmm. For your family, of what it can't do for your family. Yeah. But I was saying earlier, the only reason that I think that we survived in anything was our family. Because we have a great dad. We have a mom that prays over us every day. And we have the meaning of family. Even though, you know, we all work together here at Saddlebrook. And it's great. We have our, I mean, guys, we have our disagreements. Yeah. We have arguments, but at the end of the day, we can go back in the evenings, go to dinner, go to my mom's house. She cooks us lunch for Sunday dinner, whatever. We can still be a family and agree that one thing is more important than anything, is that family is the most important thing. And that's why Saddlebrook today, that's why we stress about when you buy a house with Saddlebrook, you're not only buying a house from us, you're buying a house for your family. You're creating the family dynamic again. You're getting out of the city. You're maybe moving on an acre.
Yep.
What is that going to do for your family's memories over the next 10 years?
100%.
Let's say you have 5 kids, and let's say they're all under 10 years old. That means historically you have 8 more years to spend time with that oldest kid.
8 summers, yeah.
8 summers more before that's gone.
Before they grow up
and create their own families. But what people and what kids need today, and I've talked to so many kids, and they're like, my dad never helped me. My dad never was the father figure that I had. And that's when I can say I had a great dad. He's the most supportive dad I've ever seen in my life.
Oh my goodness.
And that's where I give all of my credit is to him, is having a father figure that was very constructive, but he was very supportive.
When you guys,
that's why
that.
Saddlebrook is who we are today, is it starts with the leader in the family. So when you make a decision to buy a house, You're making a decision for your family that will impact generations, not just today, not just that you have extra money in your bank account, but what will your kids do when they grow up and they see that you made a decision for your family today that impacted them of how they were raised? They were raised around the Bible. They had family prayer. They had, you had a fire out back and you roasted marshmallows. That creates family memories. And guess what? Then they're going to do it for their families.
Yeah.
We had the highest divorce rate today ever. Why? It's
closer to 50%.
Because insane. We're getting away from the Bible. We're getting away from the family dynamic that made America great. Families make America great.
Living separately, going and having apartments, stuff like that, yeah.
And you really want to know what separates families? It's money. The number one reason of divorce is 70% is finances.
Yep.
Of why there's divorce
happening. It's just financial literacy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's why we stress, if your finances are not in the right place, start today.
Yeah.
Start with cutting out Starbucks that costs $10 per coffee. Right. Start something that you can control today.
Yeah.
But what you can control today is say, and I'm talking to all the fathers and mothers out there today, the next generation is in your hands. It really is.
Yeah.
How we raise our kids today will matter in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from today. And right now that's lost. We have to get back to a family dynamic, having family come back to America. And that starts with making a decision today that will benefit your family from years to come, not just today. And how do you do that? You start with getting something that you can afford. That's why we are so passionate about this podcast, about reaching as many people as we can. And we do not care. If you don't buy from Saddlebrook, we are not offended. But if I can spread the word that America can get back on the right track, and that starts with the leadership in this country, that starts with every household. There's a, always say this, to make a change, you start in the community. If you change your community, you'll change your town. If you change your town, you possibly can change
your state.
Your state. If you change your state, you can change your country. If you change your country, you can change the world. It all starts with every community that we're in, that we serve every single day. How do you treat people? How do you do the best thing that God created us to do today? How do you be the best father today? How do you be the best mother today? Right now, that's today.
Yeah. And being the best dad or being the best mentor or being the best someone to look up to doesn't cost you anything. No. You can be nice to everybody. Yeah. And I want to touch on that just a little bit, and then we'll get to the next one. As when you said, "Hey,
I got off track. I'm sorry.
No problem, man.
We did have. No, that was actually
need this.
Awesome.
People actually need this.
You know, people talk about this, and they're like, you know, this is a Tiny Home podcast. This is a community. This is a family thing. It's not just when you buy a home with us. It's
family home podcast.
Right, family home podcast. But I want to go back when you said, we had the best dad. You know, I remember when we started Saddlebrook, those late night conversations that I would call him and I'm like,
10 o'clock.
I'm so frustrated at this and this and this. And I remember those conversations. He would always calm us down and he'd like, you know, hey, work through this. But I remember the leader that he was is he didn't solve the problem for me. He helped me find the solution. Like he didn't hand me a fish. He helped me like how to fish, help me how to find the solution, right? So that's the leader that he is like working through that problem. And no, he's just a great dad. Like that's period. When you have a great dad or even a great mentor, when you can get around the right people, you can go, like you can have that financial literacy. Yeah. And that I was going to talk on one thing is start listening to people that do have it. Start making the changes that you can have. Then you start realizing, hey, your life is starting to turn around.
And you know, I want to talk about, do you guys believe in trickle-down effect?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's all, and it's not only with money. That's the biggest thing that people get confused. They think it's about money. No, it's about everything. You say, hey, Colin, I think you look so handsome today, man. I love how your hair is. I love your sneakers. I love how your shirt matches with your sneakers. You're awesome. That just changed his whole mood. Now he's incentivized to go be positive to someone else that's having probably a bad day. Guys, it's not about all about the money. Of course, the money is important. It's like you said, it's the number one driving force of divorce. But a lot of you are stuck in that phase where you think you have to have the money first. And that's the biggest lie. You don't have to have the money first. You want to know how to make the money? Change your attitude.
100%.
Seriously, walk around with your chest high, proud to be an American, proud to be in such an awesome country, proud to have family, such awesome siblings, and change your attitude. Shake someone's hand with firmness. And I was actually talking to, shout out to Kyle Burton. I was talking to him yesterday. And I said, Kyle, man, like, listen, do you believe in compressing time frames? Like, do you believe in that? Like what Andy speaks about? Because I 100% am sold on that. I want to compress time frames. What people do in 10 years, I want to do it in 3. He's like, yes, I do. But I also don't minimize the effort that comes with compressing time frames. So for those who you don't know, is compressing time frames is basically reaching your goals that other people take 10 years, compressing it to like 2 or 3, let's say, right? And he's like, hey, listen, I may not be as hardworking as the people I want to be like, but I'm going to latch onto them. If I latch onto them, I know no matter how fast they run, I will always trail behind them. Even if I'm like, you know, like dragging along, but if I latch onto them, no matter how fast they go forward, I will always be there. And why do I say this? For the people who do not know their way out, find someone that you want to be like, exactly what you said. Latch onto them, be annoying, ask questions, be respectful, obviously, but ask questions, get nosy, become their best friend, and see how far you get.
100%.
Exactly. We got off track with the tiny homes, but this is just so important. It is so important, man, because it's right, Cole, and you impacted me when you said, hey, maybe I don't even have enough for your cheapest tiny home.
Yeah.
And it's crazy because we've all been there where, like, even a minimum $50 credit card payment seems like a lot of money. Oh, my God.
That's just insane. One thing before we start or go to the next topic is we had a podcast yesterday and it really hit me. It's gratitude.
Yep. So we have another podcast called
Gratitude,
the Young CEO Podcast. Go ahead.
Gratitude that we as Americans take for granted. There's people around the country, around the world, that don't know where they're going to get their next plate of food. There's people that lost everything, lost their houses, lost their livelihood, lost their lives, lost their kids, lost their families.
Refugee camps
all over the world. And we complain about the smallest things. We complain about how Starbucks was too slow this morning. We complain about that gas was a little bit too high this morning. Where the guy cut me off. And I want to express gratitude. I want to express gratitude that we need more of it. We need to be grateful that we're dry. We have a place to stay. We have a home. And even though it might not be the best situation today, it can be. If you're just grateful for today.
Yeah.
We're not promised tomorrow.
Gratitude, baby.
That's the only thing is you have to become, I think the beginning is become grateful.
Tiny homes.
Become grateful for where you're at. Be in gratitude. Be 100%. In that mindset
100%.
Of today's not for granted. Yep. Don't take it for granted. Be grateful that you're alive, that your family's still with 100%. You. There's people that lose family members every day. There's people in Florida that have a chance to lose everything in the next coming hours. And so, guys, I just want to tell the audience is even though that your situation might not be the best, we still know where we're going to get our next plate of food. We still have a lot to be grateful for, and I think that's what America needs to get back to as well.
That's where we start. So write down, instead of focusing on 5 of the worst things that could happen, oh, this guy cut me off or the Starbucks was slow or this happened or whatever, focus on what are 5 things that you're really grateful for in your life, and your attitude will switch over. Attitude is a choice.
Yep. Right.
It's 100%. Your decision. If I want to be happy, I can't come to you and say, Chris, make me happy. I have to make the decision that I'm going to wake up with a smile on my face. I'm going to be grateful to God. I'm going to pray to God. I'm going to spend 10 minutes with God. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to feed my soul. I'm going to go do something, move my body. That are things that are controllable. Do the things that are controllable.
Yeah.
Let's get back on track.
No, guys, that was really good.
Let's go.
And for the people listening, we're not only building tiny homes, we're building dreams and we're also transforming lives. Our mission is way more than just to sell you a tiny home and go on your way. Yeah, that's not what we're doing. If so, our podcast would be robotic. You know what I mean? I would just ask you, why should people buy our tiny homes? No, we're here to change your life. Like, a lot of you listening, if you're thinking to yourself, man, these people haven't made, man, I can't even afford one of these, $100 a square foot. I need something for $1 a square foot. You know what I mean? Guys, we're literally teaching you how to get there. Seriously.
Yep.
I wish you guys met us 3 years ago, night and day. Seriously, it's because I can't explain it in another way. This is hard work. This is effort. This is drive. And this is purpose. Biggest thing is purpose. God has enlightened us with his God-sized vision.
Oh my goodness.
What's our God-sized vision? That's what Saddlebrook's about, guys. But I'm going to close out the podcast. This has been such an awesome podcast. I know even if it affects one person, that's worth it.
We've done our job.
Let's go.
We love tiny homes. Love you guys. Tiny homes.
Hey, guys, that was episode 10. I forgot to mention, guys, if you guys like this podcast, drop a like, drop a comment. You dropping a comment helps the algorithm, and it also helps us to answer every single question directly. Guys, if you like this, like it. If you shared it, share it again. Share it 2-3 times. Doesn't matter. Just share it to your whole family, guys. And we'll see you on the next one, man. This is Chris, Colton, and Kyler, and we're out of here.
Let's go.
See you guys.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.